starting in verse 11. About this we have much to say, and it is hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again. Please
stand for the reading of God's word.
Please stand for the reading of God's word if you're able. That's on me. And I will begin again. About this we have much to say, and it is hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. Thank you. And this is God's word. The children may be dismissed.
Good morning, Whelan. Happy Independence Day of 250 years. Hoo-hoo. Welcome, visitors. We are delighted that you're here. Again, my name is Mark. I'm one of the pastors here. And if you need to borrow a Bible, we have one that's right underneath your seat. You should be able to find one there. And if you would like to take one of them home with you, there are some in the foyer that we're giving away for free. Please consider that as our gift to you if you're new or visiting with us. You don't have to feel obligated to give financially. So this morning, we continue on in our Hebrew series. Jesus, our perfect priest for weary people. The theme of Hebrews is what? Jesus is better. You guys are getting better and better at that. So good. Jesus is better. He is far more superior to anything or anyone. He is all that we need. Last Sunday, we learned in Hebrews 5, verses 1 through 11, that in Jesus, 1 through 10, we have Jesus, we have a gentle, faithful, and forever high priest appointed by God, who learned obedience through suffering so that we might learn the same. We looked at four key words that enable us to trust and obey Jesus: solidarity, selection, submission, and source. Jesus is our better than the ideal high priest, who not only is our high priest king forever, but he is our sacrifice for our sins. Amen? He was called by and appointed by God to be our perfect high priest, who perfectly submitted himself to his Father. There was no plan B, only plan A. And we also saw that Jesus is not just our model of living a life of submission. He is our source of eternal life, of living a life of submission. We can trust God when it hurts, because he did. And we can live for the Father's glory and not our own, because he did. This morning, it is going to feel like we just slammed on the brakes and went in a completely different direction. Our pastor, author, will eventually get to comparing Jesus to the mysterious Melchizedek, the priest king. But he wants to address some major spiritual concerns that he sees in his people before getting to chapter 7. And like a good shepherd who wants to care for his flock and to see them and us finish well, these concerns must be addressed before moving on. He has not departed from the theme that Jesus is better. No, in fact, he hopes that they will persevere in their faith and hold fast to Jesus, fixing their eyes on him who is better than anything or anyone. Here's the big idea of our passage. The title of the sermon is Slow to Learn, Hebrews 5:11-14. Here's the big idea. Our high priest and forever King Jesus desires for us, his church, to grow up in him. With that said, let us pray before we get started. Merciful God and Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, we come to you in the power of the Holy Spirit. Open our ears. Help us to hear from your precious word this morning. Your word is living. It is active. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. Your word is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of our hearts. Judge as you see fit, Lord. Humble us and give us grace to receive your truth, even if it might sting. Prick and pierce our hearts, and may your Spirit bring life to those who don't know you. Give them, Lord, the gift of repentance and faith that they might be able to respond to you, Lord. And give me, Lord, great humility and conviction to preach your word all in the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' merciful name, I pray, and in the power of the Holy Spirit, and all God's people said, amen. So as I usually start, I'm going to start with a question. Are we growing in our relationship with Christ? That's really a question that we should be asking ourselves daily. Are we growing in our relationship with Christ? Lord, am I growing in my relationship with you? A daily prayer. Now, some of you parents may remember vaguely the toddler years. And others of you are about to enter that phase of parenting, and some of you are in it right now. What do we know about toddlers? Yes, they are cute. Yes, they are fun to look at and smile at and all that. They're made in the image of God. They're precious creatures, but they're also sinners, right? We talked about that last week a little bit. But we also know that they don't listen. If you tell them not to touch something, what do? They touch it, right? Toddlers forget what you tell them to do. They are immature. They don't like the word no. And it is very difficult for them, if not impossible, to distinguish right from wrong. This is where this fledgling church is at spiritually. This is going to be one of those hard sermons like we had earlier and the warnings to not harden our hearts. We need to hear these truths. These truths are just a part as much a part of God's word as the comfort parts of God's word. We need to remember that. We need to ask the Lord to help us receive his word. There are a lot of people in the church today that are living the Christian life in a spiritually immature way. Listen, Christ wants his church to grow up into maturity. And so does our author pastor, as he has four spiritual concerns that he needs to address. And what are they? The first one is they're unreceptive, verse 11. They're unmindful, verse 12. They're unskilled, the latter part of verse 12 and into 13. And they're undiscerning, verse 14. So let's start with the first one. Unreceptive, verse 11. Before we get there, let me also encourage you this way, as I myself have this past week, to not quickly dismiss these and come to the conclusion that these spiritual concerns don't apply to us or don't apply to you. We never arrive in our faith, not on this side of heaven. We never arrive in our faith, but we are works in progress, and God never gives up on us. Amen? Philippians 1:6, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. If we say, I'm not going to listen to what God has to say to me, then we are still showing signs of immaturity. All of these concerns in this passage have its root in sin, selfishness, and pride. And all of us are guilty of that. The other danger here is that if we tell ourselves, well, if I'm just responsive and I'm mindful and I'm skilled in the word and I'm spiritually discerning, I'm good. Check the box off. We're good. I'm just going to go on. We will then treat these points as four easy steps to following Jesus and then reduce our relationship with God to what we can do and forget that it is by his Spirit working in and through us. Philippians 2:13. There's a logic that's going on in this passage for these. If we choose to be unresponsive, then the rest of these will follow. Unmindful, unskilled, and undiscerning. Apart from Christ and his slow and at times uncomfortable work of grace in our lives, we are prone to all of these. With that said, let's dive in to our author's first concern, unreceptive. So listen to what he says here. You can follow along with me in your Bibles. We use the ESV, or you can follow along up on the screen. About this, we have much to say, and it is hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. Now stop right there. Did you notice the phrase dull of hearing? The term literally means sluggish to the ears. The Christian Standard Bible says this, renders this phrase too lazy to understand. The NIV renders it because you no longer try to understand. It's not that this small house church in Rome doesn't want to understand, is that they have no desire to listen and understand. They have, in a sense, become numb. Maybe you're here today and you find yourself zoning out already and feeling just a little bit numb to what is being said right now. That's what the author's getting at. I get it. I get it. There are times when I find myself in my own time with the Lord just reading the word, but nothing seems to be sinking in. Have you ever had that happen? Yeah. I'm reading the word, but until I really am intentional about listening to the word and then asking for help, asking the Holy Spirit to open my eyes and ears to see his truth, nothing really sinks in. So why don't we listen intently to what God's word has to say? Why do we get into the modes of boredom or feeling like we just don't seem to have much interest? Because to be receptive, to be listening to God with understanding, means that we need to surrender our self-reliance and pride. Ouch. God wants us to grow up in Christ. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, 24 through 26, "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand." He who has ears to hear, he ends with, let him hear. Does that sound familiar? Listen, when we become lazy in understanding God's word, we are telling God, we are telling ourselves, and we're telling others, I know better than you, God. I know better than you, God. In fact, I am God, and you're not. This will only lead to folly. Proverbs chapter 15, 14 says this, "The heart of him who has understanding seeks knowledge, but the mouths of fools feed on folly." The author's concern was that his numb church needed a wake-up call, and that if they thought returning back to the old way of doing things was the answer, they were seriously in danger. If they thought their self-reliance and following the rituals was the answer rather than what Christ, their high priest, has already done, then they were headed away from the Lord, not towards him. When we say, I don't care to listen to you, God, and we remain stubborn, we are in danger. When we fall back to our old ways of doing things and we choose our self-reliance over dependence on God and his word and his spirit, we too are treading on dangerous ground. When was the last time that you sat at the feet of your Savior, Jesus, to read his word and listen to him? To slow down, to heed his call against your spiritual pride? What about asking someone to trust, that you trust to speak into your life? God wants us to grow up in Christ. Romans 10:17 says, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. And in 1 Thessalonians 2:13, we see, and we also thank God, this is the Apostle Paul speaking, constantly for this, that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it, not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you believers. And then it goes on to say, therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. Does that sound familiar? Oh, church, rather than being unreceptive, let us be receptive. Let us hunger to hear God's voice as we seek him in his word. Let us pray, Lord, give me ears to hear once again and help me to never stop listening, never stop receiving from your holy word. How might we become better listeners to the Lord and keep ourselves from becoming numb or lazy to understand? Proverbs 15 says 31 and 32, the ear that listens to life-giving reproof will dwell among the wise. Whoever ignores instruction despises himself. Did you hear that? Whoever ignores instruction despises himself, but he who listens to reproof gains intelligence. Not only were they unreceptive, but they were also unmindful. Verse 12, which means they forgot. They forgot what they learned. Look with me there in verse 12. Up here on the screen or in your Bibles. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. The basic principles that he's speaking here really is the basics of Christianity, the ABCs, 1, 2, 3s of Christianity. Of the oracles of God, he's speaking of the truths of God's word. You need milk, he says, not solid food. The implication of this verse means that time has passed since this little flock professed faith in Christ. And instead of investing in others, they forgot what they learned. And now they need to be taught again. Instead of sharing what they learned with others, they became complacent and they became forgetful. The same thing can happen with us. What was at the heart of their forgetfulness? It was selfishness. When we forget that this word is to be shared with others and not kept to ourselves, then here's what we do. We cross the line from being givers to takers. The text says that they ought to be teachers. The word for ought means that they were bound by obligation to then turn around and teach others. But instead of becoming teachers, they needed to be taught again. Now, church, when it says teachers, we're not talking about Bible scholars here, okay? We're not talking about knowing your Bibles inside and out. That is not what we're referring to here. This simply means having a love for God and for others and helping others to be followers of Jesus. This is not about knowing everything about the Bible. I don't know everything about the Bible. It's not about that. It's about helping others to discover God's word and then to walk through the Bible together. To grow, to give, to gather, rather than to take and to consume. Those who just take are like those spiritual toddlers that we mentioned. Now, when Kendra and I were younger, was much younger, and our kids were toddlers. Now our kids are teenagers, and some of them are adults or learning how to adult. I don't ever remember our kids giving their time to do their own laundry when they were toddlers, right? Or to help cook a meal, or even make their own food that was, you know, edible. Kendra and I still had to do the cooking and cleaning. Our kids as toddlers were takers. Those of you who have toddlers, you are in the taking season. Toddlers that take your time. They take your patience. They take your efforts. All they do is take. And that is what toddlers do. Now, I'm not dissing toddlers here. I'm not. I love toddlers. I love babies. But what happens if you see an adult acting like a toddler? Well, you probably think, man, that person needs help, right? Yeah? Or if an adult only takes and never gives back and they don't give their time and they don't give their resources, and you start to think, boy, they're really immature. Now think with me, with a spiritual health and growth perspective. Jesus didn't call us to be faithful church attenders, but to be faithful followers of him who will make other followers of him. Jesus didn't call us to be faithful church attenders, but to be faithful followers of him who will make other followers of him. Matthew 28, 19 and 20, Jesus said, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. God has called us to have a heart for service, a love for him and for others. Maybe some of you might need to take that next step. Is your next step serving in the children's ministry and helping the children learn about the gospel? We need helpers in children's ministry. Is your next step serving on the tech team there in the back in the sound booth or the worship team? Is your next step inviting someone to coffee or tea and asking them to invest in you? Man, that's a bold next step. So that you can then turn around and invest in others. Or maybe you've been praying about who you might invest in. Let me encourage you. Whoever the Holy Spirit has laid on your heart, go to them. Invite them out. Talk to them about it. See if they're interested. Maybe the Lord's been working on them as well. God wants his church to grow up in Christ. This storm-tossed church is unreceptive. They're unmindful. They forget. They've forgotten what they were taught and needed to be taught again, the basics. And the third concern he has here is that they're unskillful. Verses 12, latter part of 12 and verse 13. Again, read up on the screen with me. You need milk, not solid food, he says. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness. That's God's righteous word, since he is a child. Now stop right there. Did you catch the phrase? You need milk, not solid food. This can sound demeaning, But what our author, pastor, wants more than anything is to see his people grow in Christ. Milk refers to those basic principles that he mentioned earlier in verse 12. Solid food is that doctrine, and then not just learning the doctrine, but learning how to apply that doctrine and being dependent on the Holy Spirit to do so, that it's necessary there for them to learn. Why? The next part of verse 12 there, verse 13, for because everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness since he is a child. Did you notice that word there, unskilled? It means to be unacquainted with, to lack training. As a result of them being stagnant in their spiritual growth, they're not as further along in their walk with the Lord as they should be. They're unacquainted with the scriptures, the word of righteousness. This is very similar to what Paul said to the church at Corinth, a church that was known as Paul's problem church. There were all kinds of divisions happening at the church in Corinth, and he tells them in 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 2, but I, brothers and sisters, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. And even now, you are not ready. Now, you might ask, well, how do I know that I'm eating solid spiritual food? That's a great question. Are you becoming acquainted with the scriptures? Are you growing in sound doctrine? Are you too busy listening to the experts and less time studying and reading the word for yourself? What about our prayer lives? We just learned a couple of weeks ago in our series that we have endless access to God, the Father, through Jesus Christ. We can boldly come to him in prayer, asking for mercy and grace and our help in time of need. Hebrews 4, verse 16. Are we praying for our lists of wants for the good life here? And forgetting that God himself is the good life here? Are we praying, Lord, I want to know your character more? Are we saying that we love God, but then we consistently not live out the theology that we say we believe in? Do we believe that repentance is more than a chore, that it's a gift? A gift to turn from our sin and back to the one who gives us deep, abiding joy in Jesus. Is Sunday mornings the only time that we open the Word or talk about the Word, but then it remains untouched, unseen, untalked about Monday through Saturday? Why is it important for God's people to be lifelong learners growing up in Him? Ephesians 4, 14 says, so that we the church, may no longer be tossed, be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, in to Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. It's learning that the gospel is not just for our salvation of the past. It's not just for our salvation of the future, of what it's going to be like in eternity with God, with Christ, with His Spirit, but for our salvation present, our sanctification, the process of being made into the mature, godly person that God has called us to be. Paul Tripp is super helpful here in helping us to see how the gospel applies to our lives now. Listen to what he says carefully here. He says, Jesus didn't die just for your past and your future. He really did shed his blood for your here and now too. He died for the tough conversation that you need to have with your spouse, your rebellious teenager, or your friend. He died for your struggle to work for that angry, constantly dissatisfied boss. He died for the tensions in your broken and dysfunctional family. He died for the sexual temptation that seems to get the better of you. He goes on, he died for the materialism that seems to kidnap you. He died for your fear of the opinions of others. He died for the torment of your anxiety and the darkness of your depression. He died so that you would have everything you need to live as he intended between the already of your conversion and the not yet of your resurrection. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. Look with me there. It says, for this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. And then the Apostle Peter goes on to say, for if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election, for if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. In other words, don't remain drinking from a sippy cup of milk, but dive in and delight in the one who delights in you and is giving us all the delicious, solid, and sound doctrine that we have in him. Can you see why our author is so concerned over these matters? He wants to see them finish well. He wants to see us finish well. He wants us to grow up in Christ. He is concerned that they are unreceptive, unmindful, unskilled, and lastly, undiscerning. Look with me there in verse 14. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. When we are receptive to God's word, when we open it up and we remember and rehearse who God is, when we become skilled in understanding his word, and that takes time, the result will be, by the power of the Spirit, greater discernment. Greater discernment. Who are the mature believers? How do we measure such maturity? Is it by how much we know about the Bible? Is it found in our memorizing the Bible? Is it found in sound doctrine alone? How do those who are immature become more mature? For those who have their powers of discernment trained by what? Constant practice to distinguish good from evil. Constant practice. Those spiritual disciplines that we need help by the work of the Holy Spirit. And what does this look like? Romans 12, verse 2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." And then by God's grace, we get up the next morning and we do it again. And then by God's grace, we get up in the morning and we do it again and again. And in those mundane moments, when you need discernment, when we need discernment, how to talk to our boss or our spouse, or how to work through the conflict with our coworker, we come again and we admit that we're weak, that we need His strength. We confess our sin and we ask the Spirit of God for discernment. What is discernment? Discernment is that mental ability and spiritual to understand and discriminate between relations, to especially acquired through experience. So in some sense, it is life lived and gained from that experience, where through the Spirit of God, we understand the things of God. 1 Corinthians 2:12 says this, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God. And for why? That we might understand the things freely given us by God." Why is discernment necessary? To distinguish good from evil. We live in an age where we have more access to the Bible and Bible resources, and yet the church lacks discernment. Why? Because once we become unreceptive, unmindful, unskilled, and depart from sound doctrine, we are left with confusion. Proverbs 17:24 says this, "The discerning sets his face toward wisdom, but the eyes of a fool are on the ends of the earth." Church, let us set our gaze on the one who is our wisdom. Jesus, our great forever high priest. And if you're here today and you do not know Jesus Christ, you don't know what it's like to have your sins forgiven, all of them nailed to the cross with all its legal demands. You've never repented. You've never turned from your sin to trust in Him. I want to call you to confess to Him right now. The Bible says that when you confess your sins to Him, He is faithful and just to forgive you of your sin. Don't be unreceptive. Heed His wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. And in closing, for those of you that know Christ, how do you measure spiritual growth and not become discouraged or become prideful and continue to grow in self-righteousness? It's humility. It's humbling yourself before God and someone else and asking someone close to you. Maybe it's questions like, what are three areas that I've grown in? And maybe other question would be, what are three areas that I can grow in? How has my hunger for God's word grown? How has serving God's people changed from 5 years ago? How's my love for you, if you're talking to your spouse or maybe your adult child? How's my love grown for you in the last 5 years? How have I grown in my identity in Christ? Church, God wants us to grow up into Christ. I am so thankful for the pastors before me who were faithful to preach the steady word of God, to preach that sound doctrine, to be about equipping you to understand his word, to grow in it. May we heed the words of Scripture and continue to do so for his glory and our good. Let me pray. Lord, I praise you and I thank you, God, for your word. Lord, there's words, Lord, that comfort us in your word, and there are words that sting. And Lord, even as I was preparing this week, Lord, these words sting. These words pierce. Lord, help us to be aware of those blind spots. Help us, Lord, to see in our lives where we need to apply your gospel, to grow in your grace, to grow in your understanding, in our understanding, Lord, of who Christ is, what he has done for us, reminding ourselves, Lord, of your glorious gospel, and helping us, Lord, to see that it transforms our lives today, right now. Lord, as we come before you in this time of communion, remind us, Lord, of the body that was broken for us and the blood that was shed for us in your Son, Christ Jesus. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. So glad that you could be here this morning to hear from God's word, as hard and difficult of a word that was, as well as hard and difficult as a word that it was to preach. So if you have any questions whatsoever, I'm going to be up here for a little bit. I'm happy to answer those. We're also having an informational meeting on a possible outreach to Briarwood, which is an apartment complex not far from us for low-income housing. We did an Easter egg hunt outreach there, and it was a great time. We'd love to do it again, kind of a back-to-school thing, but we need someone that, or some people to step up and be willing to organize that and plan it. So let us end with God's great promise of his word in Jude. This is called the benediction, a blessing from the scriptures. And if you want to put out your hands, you're welcome to. If not, you can just keep them down by your side. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, be majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. And all God's people said, amen. Love you, church. You're dismissed.